This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, July 25th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we go back to Gulfport, Illinois, one of the towns along the Mississippi River that was inundated by flooding. We'll hear that in some places it's still inundated. Also get a weekend forecast for our area from meteorologist Ed Keyser. First, today's news. The American Civil Liberties Union is leading the call for an end to the way the Illinois State Police conducts some routine traffic stops. The organization says officers unfairly search minorities. Tony Arnold reports.
The ACLU points to a new study by Northwestern University. In it, researchers find that state officers asked to search the cars of minorities three times more often than the cars of whites. The suspects don't have to agree to the search, but frequently allow it. Of those who are searched, it's whites who are typically caught with something illegal. Harvey Grossman with the ACLU says the practice victimizes minorities.
When we put in play these kinds of practices that year after year disproportionately and unfairly, unjustifiably impact on minority drivers, we have to simply put a halt to them.
The governor's office did not comment on Grossman's call to ban the voluntary searches. In a written statement, the state police point out the number of such searches has gone down over the past couple years, and that the department has no tolerance for officers who use bias in their policing. I'm Tony Arnold.
The Champaign County Board will take up the proposed school facilities sales tax referendum next month, with details in hand about how local school boards plan to use the money. The county board has delayed action on a request from school boards to put the tax referendum on this November's ballot. Several members want assurances from school districts that some of the new tax money would be used to cut property taxes by paying off existing bonds. Republican Alan Nudo told fellow county board members last night that school boards are quite willing to provide the information. He says every district currently paying off bonds on facilities is offering to reduce property taxes if the sales tax is approved.
In some cases in the rural areas, if you look at Tolono, they're going to rebate back $351 on a $150,000 home, which is equivalent to $35,000 in purchases. So chances for passage are higher if taxpayers see that there's a trade-off here, and in particular some relief in property taxes.
Nudo says the Thomasboro Board has not yet responded but could consider the request at its meeting next week. He says a motion to put the sales tax referendum on the November ballot will go before the Champaign County Policy Committee next month and before the full county board 2 weeks after that first vote. The proposal asks county voters to approve a special 1 cent sales tax to be used for building and renovating school buildings and facilities. Another school, Judah Christian School in Champaign, will drop its plans to build a new school on the north edge of Urbana and will look elsewhere. That's the word from board member Kurt Selman, who was preparing to donate a parcel on Lincoln Avenue north of I-74 for the new high school. Selman says it's clear that Urbana city officials don't like the idea of a school at that location, and in his words, they're not going to push the issue where they're not wanted.
We've got about 12 to 15 property owners in Champaign County that we're in the process of contacting and getting some prices together as far as purchasing a different parcel.
Urbana Mayor Laurel Prussing opposed the Lincoln Avenue site for Judah Christian because the land is in an industrial area she says is unsuitable for a school. In addition, city officials didn't want to lose potential tax revenue from future commercial development on the site. Selman says he believes they had answers to the city's concerns, but he says because of the opposition, the school's facilities team will not go ahead with a formal request. A new study predicts that the cost of crop production is expected to skyrocket next year, and higher energy costs are the culprit. But the report also concludes that crops should sell high enough that farmers can at least break even. Gary Schnitke is a University of Illinois ag economist. He says it's the highest increase in crop production costs since the 70s, and there's not much more that farmers can do about it.
Farmers in this part of the world are pretty efficient already, and they've done a lot of work on keeping their costs low.
High energy costs are closely tied to other expenses. Fertilizer prices are expected to jump more than 80% for corn and more than double for soybeans. High seed costs and increased expenses to operate machinery are also part of the problem. Schnicki says the only thing that could ease expenses for farmers is a drop in crude oil prices. The discovery last week of the emerald ash borer in McLean County in Bloomington has put forestry experts in Champaign-Urbana on alert. They say sooner or later the insect will show up in neighboring counties and that local ash trees stand little chance of surviving it. But Phil Nixon of the U of I Extension says the emerald ash borer won't spread to neighboring areas quickly unless humans give it a helping hand.
The ash borer only moves on its own about a half a mile a year, which means that if it had to get to Champaign on its own, it would be another 100 years before it got here, since we're 50 miles away. It will probably show up in Champaign before that because this insect will move easily on firewood and materials like that.
Nixon says that's why it's important for people to use locally grown firewood and to avoid transporting firewood over long distances. There are insecticides to protect ash trees against the emerald ash borer, though they're not 100% effective. Nixon says since the insect travels slowly, people should not use the insecticides until the borer shows up within 15 miles of their trees. In the meantime, he says research is underway in Asia on parasites that could control the emerald ash borer. Next Tuesday marks the 150th anniversary of the day two rising Illinois politicians met to plan a groundbreaking series of debates. Legend has it that Abraham Lincoln and Stephen Douglas mapped out their statewide tour inside a small house in the Piatt County town of Bement. We now know that house is Bryant Cottage, and it's the focal point of a day-long commemoration tomorrow. Bryant Cottage's site manager, Marilyn Ayer, says the day will start with an opening ceremony and a speech from a Lincoln historian. Then actors portraying Lincoln and Douglas will open themselves up to the media, the way they might have done if they were campaigning in 2008.
We have reporters who will be involved in that particular reunion tour by asking scripted questions, and then at the conclusion of that, they'll be able to ask their own questions of Mr. Lincoln and the senator about 1858.
The events will also include music, ladies' teas, Civil War camps, and a chance for some lucky ticket holders to sit down at a dining room table with Lincoln and Douglas actors. The Bement festivities are part of the first of several events planned in towns where the debates took place, including Charleston and Springfield. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. One of the biggest disasters caused by the Great Flood of 2008 happened in Gulfport, Illinois. That's where a levee gave way, allowing the Mississippi River to swamp the town, a major highway, and thousands of acres of farmland. It happened more than a month ago, but as Illinois Public Radio's Rich Egger tells us, the problems there are far from over.
You can still see signs of the flood as you drive west on Highway 34 in Henderson County. A couple miles from the Mississippi, homes and grain silos are surrounded by water. Closer to the river, what was once farmland now looks like a lake. A portion of the highway is reduced to a single lane shared by each direction of traffic. The road was elevated here using gravel and stones held in place by concrete barriers. Floodwaters are just inches from the road, and they still cover the entire town. Ramps into Gulfport are closed, but on one of those ramps sits a trailer with a generator next to it. The trailer serves as office space for the crews that are now trying to remove floodwaters. Dewatering is the term used by project manager Paul Williams.
Yes, to dewater Gulfport. We're trying to get the water out of Gulfport so citizens can come back in here and look at what's left of their property.
Williams is working with the firm Ready Management Support. The Florida-based company helps with emergency recovery efforts. For example, Williams says he's worked on projects after hurricanes, including Katrina.
The big difference when you talk about the size of a project, the big difference is in a hurricane, you'll get a surge of water, which happened in that case off the Gulf, that did all the damage, 25 to 28 feet in some areas, and then in a matter of hours, practically, it washes back out to sea. In a flood like this, that is inside of a basin that's designed to keep out water, it also obviously has the capability of keeping water in.
In Illinois, right at the bridge, if you look off to the right, you can see and you can certainly hear these huge orange and black pumps. There's 36 of them, and they're pumping 72 to 75 million gallons of water back into the Mississippi every day.
We're just kind of fighting it until the river goes back down, and that'll happen.
But it might not happen anytime soon. While it sounds as if a great deal of water is being removed, it's just a drop in the bucket.
From about 7 o'clock last night until about 9 o'clock this morning, we'd gone down an inch. And an inch in this big a pool is a lot of water.
How big is that pool? Williams was told an estimated 8 billion gallons of water covered Gulfport. Some factors are slowing down the dewatering. The damaged levee still needs to be repaired. Other levees and elevated train tracks are holding in water. Plus, there have been heavy rainfalls the past few weeks. Williams says sometimes the water level rises instead of falling. The dewatering job itself is a challenge. It's also tough when Gulfport residents stop by and point out their homes.
And, of course, we can't let them stay here because we're a construction site, but certainly you have to have a lot of empathy for the people that have lost an awful lot at this point.
All of the homes remain in water. Some roofs contain debris clearly deposited by floodwaters. Cars and pickup trucks are at least half submerged. A muddy grime covers everything. The great flood of 2008 has receded from headlines, but the story continues for the 200 people who live in Gulfport. No one knows when they can return home or if there will be a home for them to return to. Rich Egger reporting.
Rain plays a role, maybe a minor role, maybe a little less minor in some areas of the two-state vicinity for the entire weekend, according to meteorologist Ed Kieser. Today should be mostly cloudy and more humid in Champaign-Urbana, with a chance of a few showers or perhaps thunderstorms. In west central and southern Illinois and in far southwest Indiana, it'll be cloudy today with periods of rain and thunderstorms. It'll be partly or mostly sunny still in northeast Indiana, though. Highs today between 82 and 86 degrees. For tonight, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Lows will range between 65 and 72, 66 in Champaign-Urbana. And for tomorrow, a mix of clouds and hazy sunshine with a few scattered showers and thunderstorms. The high temperature, 86 in Champaign-Urbana, 82 in northeast Illinois, 92 in the far south. Looking ahead to Sunday, mostly cloudy with some showers and thunderstorms after a little lull in the precipitation tomorrow night. Sunday's rain may be taking part, especially in the afternoon. The high 87 on Sunday. Sunday night down to 64 with some showers and thunderstorms likely in the evening. Monday sunny again with a high of 83. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, July 25th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.